Welcome to the Original 11, Year 2. The official podcast of Princeton Football is back. My name is Craig Saxon, and I'm looking forward to another great year of covering Princeton football through audio, video, whatever means necessary, for what I really believe promises to be an exciting and potentially wildly successful year for the Tigers. A couple quick housekeeping bits before we get to today's show. Last year, this podcast would run on Thursdays. As you can tell, today is not Thursday. We're going to run these earlier in the week, I believe on Mondays throughout the season. Use it more of a recap podcast. We'll talk about the previous game. You know, still do an interview with a player. My conversation with Cody Crucial, the voice of Princeton football. Also recapping games, maybe looking around the league. You know, try to have some fun with these. And then on Thursday nights, I believe, a second podcast will be available for Princeton football. That will be the Bob Cerace Show. That will be a live show. It's happened last year as well. This year it'll be at Alchemist and Barrister on Thursday nights. We'll have the show. And then Cody Crucial, who will host that, will upload it as a podcast. So two podcasts during the season this year, one on Monday, one on Thursday night. Really give you a lot to listen to look back at a game and then certainly to look ahead. So really looking forward to that development. Of course, we'll also have Football Friday on Bob Cerace on GoPrincetonTigers.com. So kind of everything that you're used to and maybe a little bit more this year. Today's show, since there really isn't anything to recap, used it to grab a couple of the those top returners, a couple of first-team All-Ivy guys, Tom Johnson and Jesper Horsted, to just kind of look at, you know, what happened over the last 9 months, you know, the growth of the team, and then, you know, certainly how it looks in the preseason, where this team kind of is right now as it gets ready to head into week one. That would be next Saturday at 6 p.m. at Butler. So, as I mentioned, you know, all week on GoPrincetonTigers.com, as well as, you know, all social media fronts, there's plenty of previews. But here's a chance to hear from a couple of Princeton's top players. So we're going to start with my Tom Johnson interview. Following that, I'll have a conversation with Cody Crucial. We'll kind of look at the team as a whole. And then following that will be the interview with Jesper Horsted, the first team All-Ivy League receiver. As I mentioned, really looking forward to this. Subscribe to the Princeton Tigers Podcast Network. We've done a lot of podcasts, and I think it'll be growing even this year. But between basketball, lacrosse, you know, football, obviously, you know, this is your best way to just get these podcasts downloaded to, you know, your phone or whatever, however you listen to podcasts. And then obviously follow all Princeton football, Princeton Tiger athletics on social media, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it is. We're certainly looking forward to giving you kind of all the coverage we can over this next 10-week sprint. Really should be fun. So without further ado, my conversation with Tom Johnson. Tom, before we talk about the defense in general, you know, how much more comfortable do you feel now as a second-year starter than you felt a year ago at this time?
Coming into this experience, you know, this time around, as opposed to last year where I was coming in with position change, it's definitely a different approach that I've been able to take. I believe I have a better grasp of the defense right now, and it's allowed me to really focus on other parts of my game. And you know, focus on the larger picture of our defense and getting everybody where we're supposed to be, which you know, me and Mark inside and have been able to really to push for you know, more advanced schemes and things like that, which I'm really happy with the way we're flying around right now. So I think it's definitely been an advantage having the experience this time around.
How good is it to have somebody like Mark Fassati back and right next to you?
it's awesome having Mark back. You know, he's such a fantastic player and such a fantastic leader. But it doesn't take anything away from John and Jack and James, who you know, have continuously been getting better when Mark wasn't with us. You know, going through the spring, we were all still flying around like we were during the season, and just focused on getting better every day. So it's fantastic to have not just Mark next to me, but any of those guys who are fantastic linebackers and fantastic teammates.
Your sophomore year, you developed in that Sam position while guys like Kataris and Rohan kind of roamed in the middle. Now you have Jeremiah Tyler, who obviously misses last year, but has kind of jumped into that position and just kind of based on how I've seen the preseason, has looked really good there. Talk about him and what he can bring to your defense this year.
Yeah, JT is just, he's probably the most athletic kid on the field whenever he steps on the field. And not only that is that he plays so hard, tremendously hard. He plays with this passion that's not normal that you see in other kids, you know. I think that he has this drive that his goal is to play harder than anyone on the field, which guys like myself, we love to see in teammates, you know. As a defense, that's our goal, is to play hard, to run fast, run and smash. And he's a guy who brings it every day, and it's awesome to have him back.
You know, one of the issues that your defense obviously dealt with last year were the injuries up front, and now, you know, the benefit this year right now is that not only do you get the guys like Haluba and Percival and Wagner and Jake Strain back, but then you got guys behind them that maybe got a little more playing time than they were maybe ready for at the time last year, but now kind of that pays dividends this year. How good do you feel about the defensive front for Princeton kind of heading into this season?
I definitely feel good about it, knowing that these guys have worked their butts off to get back on the field, and as you said, we have so many guys with so much experience that it's really allowed us to take our preparation to another level compared to where we were last year. Coach Verbs does such a great job with those guys every day, getting them prepped and rotating them into different spots. It's crazy. Like, you come out one series and you almost don't even know what position the guy in front of you is playing, because he's rotating the front so much to get these guys different looks. And it's really awesome to see how well they're holding blocks and getting to the quarterback through this spring and through this training camp. So as a guy who's standing on the second level, it's great to see those big bodies up in front of me.
You know, similar to you, last year at this time, TJ Floyd had played, but now he's starting as a safety. Ben Ellis had played, but now he's starting as a safety. Guys like CJ and DeLon, they were freshmen, and then they obviously got playing time. Does it feel like, maybe a unit, a defensive backfield that was just kind of figuring it out together on the fly last year, does it feel like it's just more, I don't know if it's a well-oiled machine, but there's just the communication, everything, it just seems far more advanced than it was last year?
100%. Those guys worked their butts off last year, getting prepped and going through these games, and we've all gotten a little bit better in our past responsibilities and with our eyes, and going into this fall, it's been crazy seeing their effort in communicating is where they've taken the biggest steps. Ben and TJ have been holding it down throughout the entire fall. you know, getting their calls out and making sure that we know what they're doing, which is awesome. You know, Coach Verbs always preaches that as if we're all lined up in the same call, then we're good. And you know, they've stressed and been able to take their mental game to the next level. And it's been awesome to hear them chattering through this fall. They've been flying around and making plays, which is which from the inside is awesome to see every day. So they've taken fantastic, tremendous leaps, and I'm really excited to see what they do next weekend.
You know, you spend 3-4 weeks, obviously you're focused on the defense, on your own development, but there's a lot of, you know, one versus one, or you know, offense versus defense that you're seeing. You know, John Lovett kind of in this first time in a role as the full-time starter. As a teammate, how good is it to see him there? And then as a defenseman, defensive player, how tough does he make your life?
Johnny is—he's an unbelievable teammate, and he's an unbelievable competitor. You know, Chad coming off—you know—Chad's coming off one of the best seasons of all time. You know, and I think we all saw how hard Chad worked to give himself a chance to do what he did last year. And if you saw how hard Johnny was working this offseason, you would have all the confidence in the world in the kid. He's an absolute beast when it comes to working and to leading this offense. And it's scary being out there lined up against him. You know, there have been plays where we break through and all of a sudden he's 20 yards down the field running with the ball, which you know, is terrifying as a defensive coach. So I'm excited to see what he does this year. You know, he's so good at getting his receivers right and leading this offense. So as I said, it's been scary lining up against him. Some of the things that he's been able to do. He's really a beast of a competitor and of a teammate.
Now we'll move to the conversation with Cody Cruchel, and like last year, this will be a weekly chat. Cody, in his third year as the voice of Princeton football, doing either radio or the live video on home games, and you know, I should mention the Ivy League deal with ESPN. Now all Princeton home and away Ivy League games will be available on ESPN Plus. That's actually a cheaper subscription than the Ivy League network was last year, and that gives you the full kind of ESPN Plus package, what used to be ESPN Insider. Really a terrific deal. It's $4.99 monthly, or I believe $50 annually, so a little discount there. And that's Princeton football and basically all other Princeton home events, as well as all, you know, games throughout the Ivy League. You don't even subscribe for one team. You get the package, you get everything. So that's all Ivy League football games as well. So you can subscribe through ESPN. There's links on the GoPrincetonTigers.com homepage as well. So here's my conversation with Cody Cruchel. Here with Cody Cruchel, the voice of Princeton football. You're entering your third season doing this. Your first as an Ivy League preseason media poll voter. How was that experience for you?
That experience, interesting in the Ivy League last year. I remember heading into the final week or two, you had that possibility for a five-way tie, and it's kind of interesting looking at who's there and who left. And it's one of those things. You're not really sure until teams take the field for week one, then you don't really know how it stacks up.
All right, let's save Ivy League talk for week three of this. We'll focus here just on Princeton. I don't even talk a whole lot about Butler. We obviously, they had a great first 1 week, but let's face it, we don't know a whole lot about them. We do know a little bit more about Princeton, although even this team, there's a little unknown because of the guys returning from injury, a couple new faces in a couple important positions, one new who's not really that new, but still new. In the quarterback spot. So let's start right there. You know, I just talked to Jesper Horsted for this. You know, I said, you're coming off a season where the quarterback just broke every Ivy League record for, you know, in terms of completion percentage. So it's a little hard to ask the next guy.
But it's a lot. And it's not often where the next guy is actually an Ivy League player of the year. You go from Chad Kanoff to John Lovett. And obviously, everyone knows Lovett for what he did in 2016. But Princeton needs an entirely new John Lovett. Maybe not entirely new, but a new John Lovett. Because you're not asking for just the red zone threat here. You're asking for the full game leader.
Yeah, I mean, do you think in the history of college football at any level, any team has graduated a league player of the year at quarterback and then replaced them with a league player of the year at quarterback? I mean, this is a guy, John Lovett, 18 career games. He's been part of 44 touchdowns. I think that number is right. Really just a remarkable player, and really one of the storylines, it's A, how's he going to bounce back? You can train, you can work out, but not being on the football field in game action for really a year and a half or 2 years once he gets back out there. And then also, how does he adjust to that quarterback role? Because he was that slash role. They would line him up in the slot. He would take some pitches. Now he's going to be asked to be a little bit more of a drop back passer. So even though you know what John Lovett is, he's a known commodity. He's a player of the year 2 years ago. You know, it's a different role. So that's one of the big storylines heading into this season.
Yeah, I think it's unquestionably, to me, offensively, you know, maybe him and some changes on the offensive line. I mean, that's the one spot where kind of graduation factored in for this offense. But you don't even need John Lovett to be kind of the statistical, you know, freak that maybe he was in 16 and Chad Kanoff was last year. Because you look at the pieces around Lovett this year, around this offense. I mean, Jesper Horsted, you know, Steve Carlson had, what, the sixth, seventh greatest receiving season in Princeton history last year, and it wasn't even the best of the seasons. You know, Volker, Colin Eady, who we've seen in the preseason look really good. He's going to be really interesting to watch. There are weapons on this offense, and you know, John is obviously one of them, but, you know, they don't need him to do everything this year.
John Lovett, a weapon. You have three returners in the backfield who played significant carries last year. We've talked about the receiving core. You don't talk a lot about Tiger Besh, and he was second in the Ivy League in all-purpose yards. And then sort of the one underlooked thing, Sean Gleason, with the numbers that this offense put up last year, it was his first season as a Division I offensive coordinator. He has a year under his belt. He knows these guys. It's a lot of returning guys. They have that chemistry, so you can't really overlook that extra year of experience for him.
You know, one thing I'll be interested first few weeks to watch, especially with John Lovett, is, you know, part of the charm of watching him play was he had that he wasn't going to run out of bounds. He was going to run over your linebacker because in all likelihood, he was bigger than your linebacker. And especially now, he's definitely bigger than your linebacker. But his role is different. There is no Chad Kanoff that is going to take most of the snaps and throw most of the passes. He is the guy now, and I think there has to be maybe a little bit more discipline in his play, kind of from 20 to 20, and then from in the red zone, do you line him up? You know, is every play going to him in kind of that, you know, what was considered kind of that wildcat formation a while ago, where you're just snapping it to him. I mean, look, he scored almost every time from that formation inside the 10, but are those hits you want him taking, especially through the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season?
So if you do line him up in the slot and let him take some possessions spread out wide at the goal line, you put him out there and he's the third biggest target at 6'3", 230 pounds, that's kind of remarkable to think about. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to show some discipline because it's not like he has a Chad Kanoff back there. 2 years ago, if John Lovett went down with an injury, and obviously you don't want that to happen, but obviously you had Chad Kanoff behind him. Behind John Lovett, you know, not a lot of known commodities at this level, so you do have to be a little bit more careful with that. And, you know, talking with Sean Gleason and Bob Cerace, I think they do believe that John Lovett can be a really, really quality drop back passer. He does have that dimension with his legs and what he can do, but they point to 2 years ago in the spring when it was his team. You know, he was completing over 70% of his passes, and that was before you had guys like Horsted and Carlson who were at the point of their careers that they're at now. So, you know, I think they do rely on him, and they do believe that he can be a more traditional quarterback. That said, it's going to be really tempting if you need a touchdown late to just put the ball in his hands.
I will say the one thing that we saw last year, more than in previous seasons, is Charlie Volker inside the 10, he finished most of those plays. You know, he had some, obviously some great games, the Brown game, and others where, you know, maybe 20-20, you know, he missed a couple of openings, left a couple yards on the field. But I thought inside the 10, he was really tough to stop. And I think with him and then with two huge, and I mean huge, wide receivers in Carlson and Horsted, you know, maybe you just let Lovett be your standard quarterback up until maybe that final month of the season, and then, you know, and then you turn him loose. Let's go to the defensive side. This was, you know, obviously we left Harvard thinking, wow, you know, this team shut out Brown the week before, you know, basically gave up 10 points to Harvard. They scored the kind of the late touchdown when all of Princeton's reserves were in. And it was a defense that looked like it was just flying around. And obviously, you know, they had lost Wagner against Brown. They lost Taluba against Harvard. They lost, you know, Percival and Hampson the next week against Cornell. And it kind of all spiraled from there. But now all those guys are back. You have a loaded front. You have another returner in Mark Fassati next to Tom Johnson coming off an all-Ivy season. And then you've got a defensive backfield that there were more questions than answers when you were starting 2017. And now all of those starters are back, with the exception of Stallworth, who's replacing Chance Melanson. And basically he did that middle of last year anyway. I think there's a lot more experience returning this year. And now it's a factor of, can you stay healthy? And can you make the big stops that you just couldn't make at the end of last season?
You look at the starting lineup on defense last year, they have 8 or 9 guys that are back on the field preseason this fall that were not in the lineup, were not active the final week last year, that loss up at Dartmouth where the Big Green just wore them down. They just kept the ball on the ground the entire fourth quarter. Starters the last game of last season, Simeon Lane, Eddie Radinsky, Anthony Siragusa, John Orr, those guys are going to be in the rotation. Those guys are fighting for starting jobs. Even if they don't win those starting jobs, that's a real luxury to have players who have started games in Ivy League play in the rotation. You talk about the young secondary last year. Those guys played as freshmen, a couple of them. They're going to have a year under their belt. And then you look at guys like Jeremiah Tyler and Joey DeMarco, who were away from the program last year. They were playing significant snaps defensively 2 years ago, and they're going to be back in the mix as well. The weakness last year, it wasn't the quality of the guys on the defensive side. It was just all the injuries that piled up. And you even look at the first half stats, the last 4 weeks of the season versus the second half stats. It was just running out of healthy bodies, and teams adjusted their game plan to exploit that. That's not going to be the case this year.
You know, the one guy you mentioned that I want to talk a little bit more about is Jeremiah Tyler. I think he brings something to this defense that, you know, you had somebody in at that position in Quincy Wolfe last year who was a senior and relied on experience and did a really nice job. But Tyler brings a different level of athleticism as a freshman.
Was that the Penn game?
Yeah, he returns the Jesper Horsted blocked punt. For the touchdown to start that 28-0 shutout of Penn, which obviously, you know, basically was the key to that Ivy championship season. But, you know, stronger, better knowledge of the defense. I think he could bring something to that, you know, base defense that they didn't have last year. And then when they start going to nickel, you're not pulling him off the field. They're going to move him to different rush spots. He's somebody that can be an absolute wild card for this defense, especially when you factor in that, you know, he'll be lining up next to guys like Tom Johnson, who was first team All Ivy last year, and Mark Fassati, who was on his way to first team All Ivy before the leg injury.
And there's something to be said for guys who are hungry. You know, Jeremiah Tyler, if you go out to practice this fall, I don't know that he's stopped smiling. He's just so happy to be back on the field, and he's playing like he's out there enjoying himself. And you know, Mark Fassati, this is a guy who thought that his college career was probably over when he went down with that leg injury last year at Columbia. Kurt Haluba, someone who's been a monster when he's healthy. He wants to win another title, and he wants to prove that he can stay healthy and put up those consistent numbers. So you have a lot of guys who are upperclassmen Those are your leaders. When your leaders are hungry and your leaders are setting the example and your upperclassmen are out there enjoying it and guiding the underclassmen, and they have this kind of talent. These aren't, you know, just starters. These are guys that were leading the nation in sacks in Mike Wagner's case when he went down with an injury. Kurt Haluba's had 3 sack games in his career. We saw what Jeremiah Tyler can do. You know, the list goes on and on and on. These are quality players that are out there as upperclassmen. One final crack at it with Princeton.
You know, you have a championship season. You know, you have your stars and they perform. But, you know, I've always thought you have to have one or two guys that maybe fly a little under the radar at the start that end up making big contributions. And you go back to 2016, and I always point to James Gales as, you know, I knew that guy. He's a solid player. You know, he ends up being first team All Ivy, and people stop throwing at him in the middle of the season. I'm wondering about guys like DeLon Stallworth and CJ Wall. Can one of those, they're sophomores only, you know, James Gales did it as a senior, so it's a big ask, but can one of those guys turn into a player that just kind of takes away half the field? Because if you can have one guy doing that with a front that doesn't give quarterbacks time, it's almost checkmate for a defense, because you now can put extra guys on the other side of the field. Stallworth has looked terrific. CJ Wall was 2-time Ivy League Rookie of the Week. I'm fascinated to see what those guys can do. They're going to see a really good quarterback week one against Butler. And then, you know, the Ivy League's got its fair share of quarterbacks. If one of those makes a big jump this season, this could be a really special defense.
Yeah, you know what you have with the linebacking core. If they're healthy up front, you know that you have a lot of experience there. In the defensive backfield, you have Ben Ellis. He's a senior, and then it's, you know, TJ Floyd's a junior. We were talking about those defensive backs last year. That was the part of the freshman class last year that Bob Cerace really couldn't stop talking about, and then there were some injuries. And, you know, it's tough to come in the Ivy League, anywhere in Division I as a freshman and make a difference. The guys that played last year that were freshmen in the secondary, guys like C.J. Wall and DeLon Stallworth.
Trevor Forbes,
yeah, he played the nickel last year. He's another guy that you can kind of move into different spots, and he just gives you a lot of versatility. But just to have that many guys on the field as freshmen playing key minutes, you normally don't step on the field defensively in a role like that as a freshman in the Ivy League. So they have the experience, and, you know, normally when you talk about freshmen, it's the football IQ, because especially at an Ivy League school in a place like Princeton, you know, it's tough to pick up some of the defensive schemes. And then you talk about just the benefit of having an extra offseason and having an extra full year working with a strength and conditioning staff. Those guys have that extra year. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster. You can see it out on the field, but they also have the game reps under their belt. And that's, you know, you look at last year with all the injuries, there was the downside that you had Mark Vassati and you know, a couple of other guys, Kurt Haluba, guys like that out of the lineup, but it builds the depth, and it means you have some guys who wouldn't have played significant snaps last year that did, and that's going to help them this year.
We'll wrap up this show with Jesper Horsted, the returning first-team All-Ivy wide receiver, a multiple-time All-Ivy baseball player as well, and certainly that's a big part of this conversation is kind of what his year is like what it takes to kind of decompress from basically a full year of competition when you go from football to then pretty quickly getting ready for baseball season. But when I've seen what I've seen from Jesper this preseason, I mean, he just looks like the player he looks like he's ready to pick up right from last year. And last year was really one of the great wide receiver seasons in the history of Princeton football. Just such an incredibly physical presence. But you can just see his growth as a wide receiver, just the routes that he runs, his hands. I mean, everything. He looks really primed for something special. I'm excited to see what happens starting this Saturday at Butler. Here's now my conversation with Jesper Horsted. Jesper, first, let's just talk about kind of how your year has gone. You know, you obviously move into the starting lineup and you know, with Chad, the year goes, I mean, as well, probably even better than you could have imagined. at least for yourself. Did you have any time to reflect on that season, or do you kind of, I mean, I know you have to go into baseball mode fairly quickly. Like, when you look back, are you even surprised at the year that, that you had?
I am surprised, but not too shocked. I mean, I know I definitely was working hard in the off season. I knew Chad and I had a great chemistry, and even more than that, I had a better grip of the offense than I'd ever had in previous years. And that was definitely something that was holding me back and preventing me from playing at full speed. So, you can put all those things together, but that doesn't always necessarily bring you results. So I had a good season result wise last year, and I was pleasantly surprised by that. But at the same time, you know, I hoped it would be that way, and I worked so it would be that way. And I had a little bit of time to reflect before baseball season started, and just kind of got to think back of some awesome plays and memories we made. But yeah, I mean, it's far from over, and now is not the time to reminisce. So yeah, kind of just went into baseball mode after that, and then back to football mode.
When you're alternating between sports, I know you've said, you know, you try to have kind of tunnel vision for your sport. Do you need part of the summer to just kind of like totally decompress? I would have to assume, certainly physically, but I would have to think emotionally and mentally, like, do you take some time to just kind of let your body heal completely? And how do you feel right now?
I definitely do. It's 100% pretty much from the day I get on campus to the day I go, with either one sport or the other, or like on a few days both. And so when the summer rolls around, I do try to take a little bit of time and just get away from the sports themselves. I mean, I'm still doing training and stuff, but nothing necessarily directly related to either skill of the sports. And that definitely helps me, like, I don't know, when they come back around, approach it with a new perspective and appreciation. And I've really been grateful for the opportunity to do that. And again, it's not to say I'm not working in the summer, but to get away from the sports has been really nice. It's been essential, actually, yeah.
At what point do you kind of go into full football mode? I mean, is it kind of early August, or what? When do you kind of get into full training, that before, even before camp?
I'd say it's a gradual incline to get there. I think once the baseball season ends, I decompress from athletics for a little bit and take a few weeks away, let my body like fully reheal and stuff. And then I slowly start doing like just kind of generic lifting and generic conditioning. And then slowly, as the summer gets closer and camp gets closer, I start to work more on routes and footwork and studying the playbook and football specific lifts. And then the same with baseball in the winter. I just kind of like slowly work my way up to where I'm just preparing for that specific sport with specific things.
You take what you did last year. What were the areas that you said kind of, this is where I can get even better? You know, this is where I need to be a little bit more improved going into my senior season.
I think there are quite a few areas. I had a good year, but there was a lot of places that I just wasn't that sound on. I was able to work around it with maybe other abilities and stuff, but particularly I think I didn't do a great job of getting off of press coverage and always being as open as possible. And that works when you have a really accurate quarterback, and so it'll work with John again this year, but it's a lot easier on him if I can get more separation in space. So it's one thing I've been focusing on a lot in the offseason and during camp here. And the other thing is just route running. It's tough for like a 6'5 guy to make those really quick little cuts and steps, but I've been working on like doing speed ladders and like just honing a little bit more on the film room and like making sure that my routes are precise at the right depth with the right footing and stuff, so I'm not giving away where I'm going before I actually go there.
You kind of mentioned in that answer, so let's kind of go to it. You had the most accurate quarterback season in the history of Princeton, the Ivy League, you know, so it's hard to ask for the next guy to put the ball in the right spot quite as often as Chad did. But, you know, people who know John is only like this red zone running option. How has he thrown the ball, and what have you seen from John that excites you this preseason as more than just the running option?
Yeah, I mean, if you define John as just a red zone running quarterback, then you don't know a quarter of, or like half of, the things that he's doing right now. He's looking amazing and putting balls right in the spot, and it's going to be really exciting because people, I don't think, have seen him in this capacity, and he's just going to come out and probably impress everyone because they have no idea the stuff that he's doing. And then on top of that, he has the legs and he's going to extend a lot of plays. in a way that Chad maybe couldn't last year. So that's going to be exciting to see too. I mean, John is looking fantastic this camp, putting balls in the money. So I'm really excited to see him play. And I know he is probably more so than anyone else.
I'm guessing as a receiver, the ability to go from one Ivy League player of the year to another Ivy League player of the year at the quarterback position. I mean, that experience, having that experience at that spot, it's got to help your confidence because you trust that the ball is going to be in the right spot.
Yeah, that's an incredibly fortunate situation to be in as a wide receiver here. So it's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I barely notice a difference, and maybe the balls spin a little bit differently and they come out slightly different timing on different routes, but they're both – Chad was obviously through the ball really well, and John's looking really good too. Like, I don't know. I've been very fortunate here to have really good quarterbacks my entire time.
Yeah, I joked with Steve about this in the spring that, you know, he had maybe one of the five or six greatest receiving seasons in Princeton history, and it wasn't even the best season last year. But how much does he help your game? I mean, what does having a guy like Steve on the other side of the field do for you and the whole offense?
So much. Like I said, I'm in such a good situation here to have the quarterbacks I've had and then to have the fellow receivers I've had as well. I mean, on the field, there's an amazingly noticeable difference that, like, you can't put all your people to cover me because you have just as equal, if not more, of a threat on the other side. So you kind of have to pick one, or if you do want to cover both, then you're going to leave the middle and the tight ends very exposed. So it makes sure that I'm not going to get a ton of coverage because that would just enable him to do a ton of things. And then off the field, I mean, that's just another person that's going to push me because we're very similar, but he is a really hard worker. So there have been so many times where, like, I'm running off the sideline just, like, extremely tired, and he's like, come on, man, like, we have four more. I know you can do it. And I'm like, gosh, like, it'd be very easy to just, like, you know, take him off. But I know Steve's not going to, so I really have to push myself that hard too. So it's been really, really nice. I can't say enough good things about Steve. And, yeah, you probably didn't even see the beginning of what he's going to do this year. So I think he's going to have a really big year too.
You know, you mentioned earlier just kind of knowledge of the offense and you know, it can hold you back at times before. You know, you're a senior, Lovett's a senior, Charlie Volker, Steve Carlson, Adamitis, you know, you've got a couple 3-year starters on the offensive line. For an offense that likes to play fast, how much more can you do with all of the experience you have? I mean, can you feel it in practice that just – you can move even faster than even you did last year?
It's tough to say. We were definitely playing quickly last year, but this offense is very complex. So just time is really the only way that's going to help you play faster. I mean, you can study all you want in the playbook, but you just really have to repeat it. So the fact that we have so many people that know what they're doing and are seasoned veterans definitely is helping us playing faster. And it does feel like we're just going at an alarmingly fast pace at practice in the best way possible. But we'll just see how many plays we can get off in the first game. But yeah, I mean, it's great. Today we were just rifling off plays in a way that I couldn't even remember us doing. So we'll see, but it feels really good.
You mentioned before we started this, but you know, you guys have to wait 2 weeks beyond all the other college teams, NFL game starting. How tough is it at this point? Is it just, you know, you just are antsy to get the helmet and the pads on and play one for real?
It is frustrating. It's but like NFL starting, college football starting all over, like our opponents are already playing, but it's also an advantage in that, like, these extra practices are certainly beneficial, and I would, you know, frankly feel not quite ready if we had our first game tomorrow. So I'm thankful that we have more time to prepare, and we get to watch what these other teams are doing on film this year with their current players, and they have no idea, you know, what we're cooking up at practice right now. So it is a disadvantage and it's frustrating, but at the same time, it's also an advantage, and I'm kind of thankful for it because I know when I'm not there in the spring, this like additional period where we don't have classes and like an extended camp this year just kind of gets me that much more prepared in a way that I wasn't for the first game last year, probably.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. A reminder, Saturday is a 6 p.m. start at Butler. You can watch the game live on Facebook. Links are available on the GoPrincetonTigers.com schedule. You can listen on either the Princeton TuneIn station or on 103.3 FM WPRB. Follow all Princeton football and Princeton athletics social media, PU Tigers, PU Tiger football, Princeton athletics on Instagram, for all coverage this week and throughout the season. Have a great day. And thanks again for listening to The Original 11.